Welcome to this week's episode of Mount Ararat Podcast. Please subscribe to the channel. It really helps us out. Just click that red subscribe button, log in, and give us your support. Click the bell if you want notifications anytime we upload anything here on the channel. And if you would, share the videos on Reddit, on Facebook, on Twitter. Help get the word out, not about me, but about Pro Wrestling Noah. Wrestling done right. I thank you for your support. Now let's get to the desk and start this week's show. Hey guys, welcome back to Mount Ararat Podcast, episode 11. Now, we didn't have a show to review this week. Noah took a pretty long break between shows, but that's okay because they're giving us two shows in a row that are incredible. Last week, we reviewed, looking over at the board here, we reviewed the April 29th and Innovation Majestic 2022 in Ryogoku. We reviewed that. Previewed that. It's obviously not the 29th yet. It's only the 25th. I want to get this podcast out on a Wednesday like I typically do, although last week was Thursday. Thank you for understanding. So I'm not going to wait until this show comes on, or we're going to have back-to-back shows. We're going to have two reviews on the next show to make up for all of this, okay? I'm sorry I'm kind of all over the place, but it's unusual for me to be here in front of you guys doing this podcast without a show to review. We only have a show to preview, and it's a big one, another big one. We already previewed the N Innovation show on the 29th. Now we are going to preview the show coming on the 30th, the Majestic 2022 show from Ryogoku, featuring mostly heavyweights, although there are plenty of junior heavyweights on this show as well, including our first match we're going to take a look at right now coming up on the 30th. We've got the returning Gaijin Slex, the super junior heavyweight. A lot of people call him because he's a big guy, but he falls in the weight limit to be a junior heavyweight. But he's muscular, he's strong, he's, you know, strong as an ox, strong as a bull, if you will, teaming with Kai Fujimura. Interesting team there. Kai has been teaming with Alejandro pretty regularly. Here he's going to team up with the returning Slex as they take on Kenya Okada and Yasutaka Yano. Advantage Slex. Look, guys, we've got Slex getting in the ring with three young guys. All right, very good young guys. I mean, Yano is an official member of Stinger now. That's a big deal. Okada just awaiting his big win. Kai Fujimura already got a few wins with Alejandro, their junior tag team, looking really good. But Slex is going to come in here motivated, and he is going to get the win for his team, likely pinning Okada. I mean, let's just face it, guys. Talk about it. Okada is great. He's going to be a big deal. But right now, this guy just isn't pulling the trigger. He's looking good. He's got a bright future. We're convinced, right? Just about all of us are convinced he's going to be a big deal. I don't know if he's going to become a big deal here. It would be amazing. I would love if he won this matchup. I would love if he pins Slex. And I have nothing against Slex. I'm glad when these Gaijins, whenever these foreigners come back to Japan and show us what they've got inside the Noah ring. Because if you're coming to Noah, you think it's a big deal. Right? You know it's the place to be to prove that you are a professional wrestler. And I think Slex gets the job done here, but I'm not going to lie. Nothing against him, like I said. But Kenya Okada, every time he steps in that ring, I want to see him win the match. Every time. Eventually, he's going to. I just don't think it's going to be here. Good opener, though. Second match of the evening, we got the entire Funky Express together again. We got Saito, Yone, and Tane in the ring together as a threesome, but holy cow, look at the team they're facing. They've got the Kongo Juniors, Tarasuke and Hajime Ohara, and they're teaming with Manabu Soya. Look, I am waiting on the enforcer, Manabu Soya, and look at the shirt I got on. You know who I'm for, right? Funky Express are cool, they're fun, got nothing against those guys, but look, they're overmatched here. The Funky Express did get a small winning streak going until they lost the last time they were in the ring. I don't see them winning this match. I mean, Yone is a beast. Tane can be a beast. He teeters back and forth between, you know, an odd, lovable oddball and the monster that lies inside him. Saito, very good. Very, very good.
but also pretty old and up there. I do not see the Funky Express overcoming the amazing team. Now, even though, yes, they're juniors, you know, O'Hara and Tadasuke are junior heavyweights, so they're smaller, but they're a terrific team, and Tadasuke is an extremely strong junior heavyweight, and you got Manabu Soyo, who I think really needs to break out and do something big, and I'm not saying this is really something huge, something big, but I think he's definitely going to help them secure the win here. I have no doubt that Kongo are your winners of this match, although it'll be good. Look at this craziness. We got 5-on-5. We got a 10-man tag team for the third matchup. This is going to be insane. Anytime Paros de Mol de Japón get in the ring against Stinger, it's just madness. Sometimes they hold it together and they have great matches. Look, I've said this before on the podcast, guys, that you've heard me. Whenever these guys can get in the ring and hold it together, it is great, great stuff. So I'm really hoping they do it here. I'm hoping this does not turn into a giant brawl. I'm really thrilled to see the additions to both teams. Takano is a great professional wrestler. I've said that. He really reminds me of a young Stan Hansen. Chris Ridgway is a member of the foundation, of which I include myself. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, who's this guy? Or, you know, if you know who the foundation is, surely. The Ring of Honor stable, John Gresham, the leader. John Gresham dubbed me part of the, he told me I am the foundation on Twitter, and I'm taking that serious. You know, that's a big compliment to me. Even though I don't love the company where John Gresham now performs, and Ring of Honor, that's not Ring of Honor. They should change the name of that company. It's just not the same. I'm a fan of Gresham, hope he succeeds, but I digress here. Chris Ridgway being a part of the foundation. If you don't know, quickly, the foundation is a group of pure professional wrestlers. The group was founded in Ring of Honor. You know, John Gresham, Jay Lethal, Rhett Titus, Tracy Smothers. I mean, Tracy Smothers, Tracy Williams. Sorry, guys. And Chris Ridgway. I mean, that's a big deal to be part of that faction. Although, since AEW's purchase of Ring of Honor, I don't know where that lies. I don't terribly care. But I know Chris Ridgway is the real deal, and so is Takano. Watching them on the opposite sides, new members of both of their teams. You know, you got Kotaro Suzuki. You got Super Crazy. You got Takano Jr. You got Nosawa Rangai. You got Eita. Will he still be the junior heavyweight champion here? We'll have to find out the day before. And on the other side for Stinger, you got Yuya Susumu, Sieki Yoshioka, Chris Ridgway, Yoshinari Ogawa, and Hayata. Will Hayata be the new junior heavyweight champion here? We'll again have to wait and see. This is going to be madness. This, again, please, guys, hold it together. If you hold it together and have a really good match of matches, this would be great. I mean, I also would love to see Suzuki versus Ridgway, a lengthy, you know, interaction between those two. Is Ridgway and Ogawa going to be the new junior tag team champions? We don't know. I mean, we've got a lot that's going to be new and fresh here in this feud, which is hard to believe. These two teams have been going at it for how long? And here they're adding fresh elements to it. The junior heavyweight title, the junior tag team titles, the addition of Takano Jr. to Paros de Mol, the addition of Ridgway to Stinger. This is just makes this feud even better and more exciting. Who's going to win this? I don't know. This is very hard to call. I mean, if I knew the results of the 29th, I might have a better idea who's going to win this. Who's going to be more motivated? If 8th loses his championship, he's going to be extremely motivated. If Ogawa and Ridgway win the junior tag championship, they're going to be extremely motivated to show that they're legitimately the team. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and pick Stinger. I love Takano Jr. I think he's a great addition, but Ridgway is a member of the foundation, and I'm going with my boy along with Stinger, but this will be another great match. The fourth match on April 30th out of Ryogoku, Japan, Majestic 2022. We've got the Segura Army. We're talking about Kazushi Sakuraba teaming with the clown Kendo Kashin, taking on Mochizuki of the M's Alliance, and a new partner. I believe this guy's from Dragon Gate. I did not research this guy. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I don't care a lot about other promotions. You know, for me to do a lot of research, and I know, you know, if I'm hosting a podcast, that's something you should do, Adam. If you don't like it, you don't have to watch me. I'm a Noah guy. If Don Fuji wants to come in and really be a big part of Noah, I'll get to know him and know more about him. As of right now, I don't even know if he's from Dragon Gate. I think so. So it makes this match hard to pick, except for the fact that I can't stand Kendo Kashin. I'm a fan of the Segura Army. I mean, I respect the hell out of them. Like I said, I'm a Congo guy, obviously. But I respect the hell out of the Segura Army. But Kendo Kashin, I just can't take serious. He wants to be funny. He wants to be a weirdo. And I don't really respect that in anybody in this entire great sport that I love, professional wrestling. So I'm obviously picking Mochizuki and Fuji here. Now, Sakuraba, as old as he is still an MMA guy, a legend. He can rip you to shreds, you know, tear your limbs apart. I don't know. And I don't know anything about Fuji. I really don't. Fuji, I apologize, I don't. But Mochizuki is the man. I think he could overcome Sakuraba in the end. And Fuji, even though I don't know him, over Kendo Kashin? Absolutely. Even though Mochizuki and Kashin still have beef with each other since they were fighting up on the balcony and each one tried to throw the other off. Goofiness. Not super excited about this match, just because I don't like Kashin very much, but I'm Mochizuki and Fuji, your winner here. A little middle break match, in my opinion. The fifth match of the night. Interesting team up here of Masato Tanaka and Daiki Inaba. I like that team. I think those two could do big things together. I kind of see Daiki Inaba as a young version of Masato Tanaka. Not completely. I'm not saying they're mirror images of one another. But I see, as Daiki Inaba builds his way up in Noah since coming over from WrestleOne, I see shades of Tanaka in him. So I think this is a real interesting team. Now they're taking on another real interesting team, two gaijins, again, foreigners, coming back, returning to Noah, Rene Dupree. And by the way, Rene Dupree, I've watched a little bit of your podcast on YouTube as of late. That's interesting. You've had some interesting people on there saying interesting things. Check it out, guys. Rene Dupree's podcast. Can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but if you just search YouTube for Rene Dupree, you'll find his podcast and see what you think about it. And he's teaming with Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. Now, Dupree and Wagner Jr. are one-time GHC heavyweight tag team champions. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. They won the Global Tag League. That's a pretty big deal. Pretty hard to pick against these two, right? I'm not real familiar with Wagner Jr. Rene Dupree's been around. I am familiar with him. I don't watch a lot of Lucha Libre. It's not my thing. I don't watch Mexican wrestling. Not my thing. But I know Dr. Wagner's a big name, so I'm sure his child, which is who Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. is, I believe, does that mean the son of Dr. Wagner? I don't know. Something like that. But he's wrestled all over the place, especially down south of the border. Very talented, very respected, very good, carrying a pretty big name with him in Dr. Wagner Jr. Rene Dupree, also been all over the world. Very excellent wrestler. Like I said, these two are former GHC heavyweight tag team champions. As much as I like Daiki Inaba and Masato Tanaka teaming together, it's hard to pick against former winners of the Global Tag League and winners, holders, former champions, GHC heavyweight tag team champions. Although if anybody can give them fits, it's going to be Tanaka and Inaba. But I don't know if they've just teaming together against an established team that has gone that far. You got to go with the former champs here, right? Rene Dupree and Dr. Wagner Jr., I say, are your winners in this matchup. Next up, we've got some controversy. Controversy from blue-haired weirdos. Look, Michael Elgin, I'm not going to address it here, not at any kind of length, went through a bunch of nonsense here in this country, in the United States, charged online, not ever officially, online by a bunch of people claiming he sexually harassed or assaulted a woman or something. And now look, people have asked me, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about Pro Wrestling Noah using Michael Elgin? I have no problem with it. Number one, I trust Pro Wrestling Noah. I do. I trust them. I'm sure they've vetted this situation. I'm sure they've discussed it. And I'm sure that they've decided that everything is fine. I trust them. Number two, I believe Michael Elgin. Look, you can hate me for that and call me names or whatever you're going to do, but I just believe him. The guy has defended himself for years. Most of the companies who have cut ties with him have not even given him a chance to speak his mind, to share what he has. Is Michael Elgin a wonderful, great guy? I don't know. I don't know. He could be a wonderful friend that you want, and if you get the opportunity to befriend him, he could be an asshole. I don't know. I don't particularly care. What I care about is great professional wrestling. And since I trust Noah to have vetted this situation, and since everything I hear from Michael Elgin, because I have listened and read his response, I believe him. Could I be wrong? Sure. Sure, I could be wrong. I'm not here to knock accusers. You want to know something? I worked with disadvantaged teenage girls for 20 years of my life. My wife and I were house parents at numerous facilities across the United States. We really were. And I loved that work. I eventually get out of it. Had nothing to do with the kids. I couldn't stand a lot of the other adults in that industry. I just couldn't. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know how to work with kids. And I just couldn't take that anymore. So me and my wife left that industry. So I know what victimhood is all about. I know what females who have been used and abused go through, and I've supported them for 20 years of my life. So don't tell me that I don't understand victims. Okay, from what I've heard of this situation, and again, I'm not recapping it, I believe what Michael Elgin has said and a few others around him. And now that Noah's bringing him in, I believe it more because I trust Pro Wrestling Noah. If you don't, go about your way. Nobody says you have to continue to support Pro Wrestling Noah. I think it's kind of foolish if you don't. But that's your choice. If you see this and think, I'm not supporting them anymore, goodbye, Sally. Nobody's going to cry. Nobody's going to miss you. They just aren't. It's just a fact. But you're going to miss some great wrestling. Michael Elgin versus Masa Kitamiya is going to be possibly the show stealer here. And yes, we've got a GHC heavyweight match here. And yes, we got my boys Congo going for the heavyweight tag team championship. We're going to talk about it here shortly. But this could easily be the show stealer, in my opinion. These two guys against each other, this is a hoss fight. You guys know I love Bull of the Woods getting in the ring and trying to see which one really is the lead, the head bull. You know I love hoss fights. You know I love these guys beating on each other. You know I really enjoy these style of matches and wish there were more of them. And this is going to be great. But see, when I talk about fights, I don't mean like what you see. I'm just going to drop his name, like Minoru Suzuki doing. I'm not into that anymore. God bless him. He was one of the best ever. No doubt. Pro wrestling, MMA. But the style he's doing now where he just gets in the ring with somebody and they have slap fights for 15 minutes, 20 minutes where they just slap each other in the chest, forearm each other in the chest, and scream at each other to do it harder. No, thank you. Not my thing at all. I know some people watch that and think, ooh, match of the year. Nah. This, watch this, if you want to see what I'm talking about. Will we get some of that? Absolutely. Will we get some of that, let's go toe-to-toe and see who can hit each other harder? Absolutely. Will that be the entire match? No. It'll be a segment of the match. Hopefully not even two, but two at the most. But these guys will wrestle. You will see power slams. You will see suplexes. You will see even top rope maneuvers, I'm absolutely certain, probably from both guys. The only danger this match has is these guys kicking out of so many things that it gets to be ridiculous. That's the danger in a match like this, where guys are hit with everything and nothing keeps either one down. Now, Masa Kitamiya is known for that. Masa Kitamiya is known for taking unbelievable amounts of punishment and just shaking it off and getting in somebody's face. I'm cool with that to a degree. When you got two guys as big and strong as this, the only danger this match has of not being as good as I believe it's going to be is just that it gets to the point of ridiculousness with neither one of them staying down for anything they're hit with. Okay, that's the danger. I could see this going to a draw. I could see this going to a countout. I don't want it to, but I could see this not being finished in this one matchup. I think it has to be a big deal because I think Noah has to put Michael Elgin over strong here. I'm a fan. Look, I want the Japanese guys to win 9 times out of 10 when Gai Jins, when foreigners come in and have matches. That's what I want. I don't want the foreigners to win. But here, I think Michael Elgin has to win. I think he's going to win if Noah's going to get seriously behind him, because Elgin has such a passion for Noah. It might be stronger than mine. How crazy is that? Now, he's a wrestler, so in that way, of course it is. But I just mean his love of the company. I mean his desire to be a part of it. I mean his desire to be associated with it. I really think might be stronger than mine, and it's ridiculously strong to me. I mean, I come and do these shows with little sleep. I don't know if you can see the red eyes. I'm always dropping Visine in before I do these shows. They're as red as my Congo shirt. But Elgin really, really sees this as a huge opportunity. He wants to be the biggest guy Gene in the history of Noah. And that's saying things. How many have been through Noah throughout the years? Many. So I respect that passion. Oh, I respect him. He knows he's getting a shot here when a lot of American companies are full of social justice, blue-haired weirdos that won't give him a shot, you know, so God bless him. And hey, if the day ever comes that it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that Michael Elgin was this terrible person to a woman or more than one woman, I will apologize. But I, based on my intelligence, knowledge, and understanding of victimhood, and like I said, 20 years with disadvantaged teenage girls, ages 12 to 19, 20 years, I get it. I get it. No one is a bigger defender of disadvantaged females than this guy. Nobody. It was my career. It was my life. But in this situation, from what I understand and believe and how much I trust Noah, nah, I just don't think so. So let's go Michael Elgin, and that's rare because I'm a big fan of Masa Tamiya. I'm a big fan of the Japanese wrestlers winning in Japan over the invading foreigners. I'm just a fan of that. But in this situation, I continue to like Kitamiya. I think Michael Elgin wins. I think he has to win. And I expect gigantic things from him going forward. And I hope it happens. Seventh match out of 11 matches, guys. Seventh match is another Gaijin, another foreigner, Simon Gotch. You know, former WWE talent who I knew little about other than I know he was in some really hokey gimmick called the Vaudevillains back when he was in WWE, but I don't watch that stuff. You know, I know from seeing it on social media, on Twitter and YouTube and stuff, and hearing people talking about it. But since leaving WWE, he has completely reinvented himself. He has become a shoot fighter. He has become someone respectable. He has become someone tough. He has competed in the blood sport and MLW matches where there were no ring ropes. And I mean, the guy is legit. But my God, he's facing Masakatsu Funaki for the national championship. Look, Masakatsu Funaki is a guy, Congo guy, who hasn't been able to even find many challengers. Hideki Suzuki, one of the best in the world, stepped up to him, got his ass beat. Tapped out. You know who? Kano, the leader of Congo, lost this title to Funaki, and Funaki shook his hand and joined his faction. That's badass as badass gets. Yes, he's older. Yes, he's in his 50s. But I don't care. This guy is the greatest joint manipulator in wrestling today. If he grabs hold of an ankle, of a wrist, of a shoulder, of your neck, you're going down. You have got to fight defensively 100% of the time. And Hideki Suzuki did it beautifully, but not good enough. And as good as Simon Gotch is, and as much as he's reinvented himself, and as much as I respect him, I think he's going to come in here and he's going to gain even more respect. I think he's going to get an even bigger name. I think he's going to get another notch on his belt, but that's not a victory. The notch on his belt's going to be going toe-to-toe with Masakatsu Funaki, looking well and doing well, but I don't see him winning this. I think Masakatsu Funaki is another animal. I just think he gets in the ring. He doesn't have to worry. He's older, so he doesn't have to worry about bumping a lot. Not because he's afraid to or can't do it. He doesn't have to. I mean, did you see what he did in that multi-million match just the other week against Howe? He just beat the living shit out of Howe. Now, yes, Howe is smaller and a junior heavyweight. But, I mean, Masakatsu Funaki just ran him over like he was a truck. Just like a freaking accident. We were witnessing some kind of horrible accident, some melee freak mishap in the middle of a ring as Masakatsu Funaki just dismantled Howe like he was made out of Play-Doh. Now, Simon Gotch is bigger and Simon Gotch is better and Simon Gotch is more the style of Funaki than Howe is, absolutely. So we're not going to see that massacre. But I'm sorry, Masakatsu Funaki is here to stay, in my opinion. I see him holding that title until he doesn't want to anymore. And this will be good. And this is going to show you Simon Gotch is legit. But not that legit. Funaki's winning this. We're up to the eighth match now. This is the Noah Jr. regulars, Junta Miyawaki, Atsushi Kotogi, Yohei, and Daisuke Harada, taking on a bunch of gaijins. We got Alpha Wolf, Extreme Tiger, Dragon Bane, and a guy who I have been conversing with lately about what he's going, what his style is and how he's going to work in Pro Wrestling Noah, Ninja Mac. To the guy's credit, man, a dude has spoken to me super. We don't have any lengthy conversations, but he's spoken to me numerous times on Twitter, spoken to me on my on here, right here on Mount Ararat Podcast comments. If you look around, you'll find it. I forget what episode he commented on. Basically, just said bet. He uses the word bet. I mentioned this last week, that he's basically challenging me to watch him to see that my fears of these high flyers are not going to be anything to be afraid of when it comes to him and his work in Noah. So I can't wait. I can't wait to see this. Because I look at a match like this and I think it's going to be, you know, better than it would be anywhere else. No doubt. But it's going to be a bunch of moves strung together, done a little bit too quickly for my liking. Even though the Noah Jr. regulars are better at that, better at toning that crap down than any other junior division in the world, by far. So I trust, I'm not saying this is not going to be good and I'm not going to enjoy it, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be more leaning more towards a style that I don't like as much. I don't know anything about Alpha Wolf or Dragon Bane other than they're luchadors, and luchadors are trained in ground wrestling and ground and pound and catch. They are. I know they are, but often they rely far too heavily on the super high flying stuff. Now, some of that mixed in, I have no problem with it. But I don't want to see it dominate an entire match just over and over and over and over. So we'll see. Ninja Mac, watching your brother. And if you're the worker you're telling me you are, I'll be singing your praises in no time. We all know that the Noah Jr. regulars are going to work this match. Miyawaki, Kotogi, Harada, Yohei, absolutely. I know Extreme Tiger is a former X Division champion in Impact Wrestling, even though I don't watch Impact Wrestling. So that, you know, that's impressive of its own, you know, of its own accord. And Ninja Mac, I believe, I haven't watched it yet. Maybe I will. The Bloodsport, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, I believe he fought in recently and got a big win by doing some spinning kick to the back of his opponent's neck and pretty much knocked him out. Great. That's the kind of stuff I want to see high flying moves do here. The Noah Jr. regulars are also in a big battle. Not here, of course, not on this show, but they're in a big battle with the Z-Brats. I think the winner of this is going to a lot of determine on what happens there. If the Noah Jr. regulars defeat the Z-Brats, they might come in here overconfident and get upset. If they lose to the Z-Brats, they're going to come in here ridiculously motivated and win this match. So for the first time ever on this show, I'm not going to pick a winner here. I told you what I think. Noah Jr. regulars beat the Z-Brats. They lose here due to overconfidence. Noah Jr. regulars lose to the Z-Brats. They win here because they absolutely have to. Keep an eye on this match. It's interesting. Here's a match tons of people are talking about. Because nobody knows who X is, Mara Fuji's teaming with a mystery partner to take on Kaito Kiyomiya and Yoshiki Inamura. Now, Kiyomiya has been a superstar in Pro Wrestling Noah. He's a former GHC heavyweight champion. Had a little fall from grace since holding that title for well over a year. Now has to reestablish himself. Now has to come back up. Not really reestablish. Well, kind of. He didn't become a flat-out loser, but he's not touched that title since losing it some time ago, and he wants to again, and he's realizing he's going to have to build himself up a little slower than what he would like, because that's what you got to do. And Puriso, you know, you've got to really work hard to prove yourself. And since he shot to the top of Pro Wrestling Noah, their roster has just almost banded together to make sure they knock this kid down and make him work harder than he's ever worked in his life to get back to that position. And that's what he's doing. He broke into Noah with Inamura. And Inamura has not quite had the success yet that Kiyomiya has. But I think, again, that's the Noah roster. They're not going to let some other young kid shoot to the top like that. Inamura is unbelievably strong. Probably the strongest Pro Wrestling Noah roster member. I would say definitely. I don't know who would be close. Honestly, I don't. I mean, maybe the champion, maybe Fujita, but I don't think he's as strong. I just don't. This kid is amazing. I mean, and he's really starting to come through with his strength training even more, and you can see it in the ring, and you'll see it here. Inamura will literally throw Marufuji and his partner around like they're bags of groceries. You know, he'll just pick them up and toss them wherever he wants them to go. Absolutely. But the big question of this match is, who is Marufuji's partner? There's been a hint, something to do with space, something to do with outer space. Now, that freaks me out a little. Again, back to Michael Elgin real quick. I trust Noah, but I don't know. They've posted a video of a spaceship flying around in outer space, of an astronaut, like in the astronaut outfit with the big face, black face shield, and it says, "Who am I?" on it, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, I've mentioned on Twitter, the only person that comes to mind, and I hope I'm wrong, is Aerostar from Mexico and from Lucha Underground fame. Look, I'm nothing against the guy, except that he's been booked places that he's legitimate from outer space. Now, get out of here with shit like that. You know, I'm not saying Noah's going to do that. I trust Noah, but who could this be that has something to do with outer space? It's freaking me out a little bit. It's worrying me a little bit. It just is. I don't know. But again, I trust Noah. It may be somebody I'm not even familiar with. If it's somebody from Dragon Gate, I am vaguely familiar with All Japan. I have watched some All Japan. I don't know Dragon Gate. I don't know DDT. You know, so if it's somebody from there, honestly, I'm not going to be able to get super excited about it, because I don't know those companies, and I really don't care to know them. Not because I hate them and wish any ill upon them. Well, maybe DDT a little bit, because I think they're an embarrassment to the industry sometimes. Sorry, I do. Sometimes they are. And so if it's somebody from a company I'm not familiar with, or even AAA, or one of those other, I'm not going to have a clue. A lot of people think it could be Kenta, but I believe he's in another show for New Japan at that time. I'm not certain about that, but I don't know who it could be, and I think it's going to make a big difference on what I think about this match, so I'm not going to pick a winner again. I can't pick a winner when I don't know who X is, when I don't know who the mystery man is. I'll tell you, I hope Kiyomiya and Inamura win it. I do. I like Marufuji, don't get me wrong. Excuse me. But I would love to see the younger guys win it. I just would. Something I think would be very enjoyable. I'm talking long on this. We'd have no review, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show. So I'm trying to make this last a little longer and delve deeper into these matches and my thoughts and my opinions. But Kiyomiya and Inamura, I hope, win it. But again, don't know the mystery partner. I can't assuredly and soundly pick a winner. I just can't. The 10th match, the semi-main event, the match I'm here for, other than Elgin and Kitamiya. Sorry. This is the match I'm here for. Kenno and Nakajima, the Congo leaders. Kenno's the leader. Nakajima's right behind him. In my opinion, he's got to be. Love these two together. I would rather see Nakajima going for his title back, his GHC title. I think he deserves it more than Goshi Ozaki. I'm a little bit annoyed by that, a little bit resentful of that. Nakajima deserves that title back. I think he's a bigger character. I think he has more charisma. I just like Nakajima. I just do. But hey, going for the tag titles with Kenno, an amazing team, taking on another amazing team, the team I predicted to win these titles in that mini tournament. Takashi Zagura, the leader of the Zagura Army, and his partner Hideki Suzuki, who had just returned from WWE. They win the tag titles, the GHC heavyweight tag titles that had been vacated by Marufuji and Keiji Muto, and Muto had to have, he's having issues with his hip. They had a mini tournament. Segura and Suzuki won. I predicted that they would be the winners. I was right in that. I mean, to be honest, I think about 70% of Noah fans predicted them to win. Wasn't a super hard prediction. They just, I mean, it's a badass team. But this is another badass team. Kenno and Nakajima. These two are just going to kill each other. Nakajima and Suzuki have already had match of the year contender match just a few weeks ago. It was beautiful, 30-minute draw. Pure wrestling, right in the middle of the ring. No gaga, no nonsense, no ridiculousness. Just straight up fighting and wrestling. It was wonderful. And they face off again here. Segura and Keno have traded wins back and forth. They're a former tag team. They're former tag team champions. They're a former tag team. Keno and Segura were an amazing team. They didn't last real long. Their egos just butted heads too often, and it didn't last. But they were great as a tag team, and they know each other inside and out. No doubt about it. This is a very hard one to predict. You know, the Segura Army has earned my respect a lot. I mean, I don't know if you can see the Segura picture there, a little bit up in the corner there. You can see half of the dog's face. I respect those guys. I like those guys. I enjoy some, except for Kendo Cash, and I enjoy watching those guys work. Kongo, to me, is just the best faction in wrestling. They're the coolest. They're the most badass. Everything about them just is everything I love in professional wrestling. It really is. So my heart always wants to predict that Kongo win the match, and my head's going to go with it. I think Segura and Suzuki are great, but I think they're going to chase individual titles. I do. They haven't been tag team champions for long. They haven't. But I've seen champions lose their first defense in pro wrestling, Noah. It happens. I think this is going to be brutal. I think it's going to go a long time. I think it's going to go back and forth. And I think I could be wrong. But my heart and my head's going with my Kongo boys. I think Nakajima deserves a title. He deserves the GHC heavyweight title. I think this is a consolation prize for him, a good one, but I think he gets it. And I think we got Kongo standing tall here as the victors one way or another by the time this match ends. And it's going to be great stuff. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. This is, you can't miss this. Finally, the main event, the 11th match of the night. We've got the GHC heavyweight champion, Kazuyuki Fujita, taking on the former champion, Go Shiozaki. Now, the last time these two faced off, they had like a 30-minute stare down. The opinions about this vary all over the place. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. I pretty much hated it. It was ridiculous. I don't want to see guys stand in the ring and stare at each other for 30 freaking minutes. I don't find that intimidating. I don't find that cool. I don't find that inspiring. I find it ridiculous. It's different. You know, it's different. They were both trying to psych each other up. Nah, 30 minutes. Just please don't. Please not a repeat of that. Don't even go 5 minutes. Get in there and start beating the hell out of each other. Because somebody has got to prove that they can beat Fujita. I like Fujita. I think he's a great champion. People gripe about the kind of person he is, or because back in New Japan, he was the king of Enokiism. And, you know, three-time IWGP heavyweight champion, by the way. Those of you who say, who's Kazuyuki Fujita? He's a three-time IWGP heavyweight champion. He's a former GHC national champion. He's the current GHC heavyweight champion. He's the freaking man. That's who he is. You don't have to like him. You can think he's an asshole. You can think he's boring. You can think he shouldn't be a champion in 2022. You're entitled to those opinions. But the man has proven himself. He has worked hard. He has worked his way to the top of the card. And when he turns it on, nobody can stop him. Now, my boy Nakajima lost the title to him. That's who he beat for this title, who I think should be in this match instead of Go Shiozaki. Not because I dislike Go Shiozaki. I like Go Shiozaki. I respect him. I think he's great. But he came back from a bunch of losses super fast. That's the build back from like four straight losses Shiozaki had after losing the title should have been a slower build back to a title match. That's just my opinion. Nakajima, again, I think is the better gimmick. I think he's the better badass. I think he's the picture of badassery, in my opinion. Shiozaki's sort of an old school hero. You know, a hero of the people, especially in Japan. They love him. They absolutely love him. Most people over there are desperately rooting for him to win this match. And I don't really have a favorite in this match. I have nothing against Fujita, the way some people do. I have nothing against Shiozaki. I don't really can't lose here, no matter who wins this. But I just feel Nakajima should be getting this title shot. The reason Nakajima lost, he had Fujita down and didn't go for the pin. He had him beat. And he got a little too cocky and paid for it. Shiozaki, he recently beat Nakajima in a decent match, but I'm just not feeling it. I like Shiozaki. If he wins this title, good. I'll put him over. I'll talk about, you know, he's one of the best champions, if not the best champion in wrestling, no doubt. I'm just sort of, you know, butthurt, if you will, that my boy Nakajima isn't in this matchup. But this is going to be a brutal fight. The test is going to be how much can Shiozaki take here? Because he's going to have to take a beating. You have to overcome the power and the relentless attacks from Fujita to be able to beat him. And when it's time to beat him, you've got to put him away. If Nakajima taught us anything, it's that. You can't toy with him. You can't get him down and think, I'm not pinning him yet. I'm going to smack him around some more and you know, bump up my reputation for badassery. You can't do it. I don't care if the match is 5-10 minutes long and Giozaki's got him in a pinning predicament, he's got to go for it. You can't play them, because what Fujita does is he plays mind games, right? We're talking about a man who fought Krokop, you know, one of the best MMA fighters of all time. Didn't beat him, but went, did it go the distance? I think it was stopped because Fujita was bleeding too much. That's what this man does. He's not the greatest wrestler in the world. He's not. But he's great at mind games. And he's great at absorbing punishment. So if you get in the ring with this man and you wear him down and you get him to the point that you can win, you've got to take the opportunity to go for the pin over and over and over. Shiozaki could lead Fujita into deep water. I believe Shiozaki is better conditioned than Fujita. I believe Nakajima was better conditioned. But in an attempt to exhaust the champion, you've got to be able to pinpoint when he's ready to be pinned and when he's not. And it's a game that so far nobody's been able to figure out, because this guy can be beaten. He has been beaten. Right? Not for this title yet, but he's been beaten for other titles. He's been beaten in non-title matches when he didn't have a title at all. But he's found something. He's found a trigger within himself that he lures his opponents in. He makes them think they have him beat, and he storms back, nails that ridiculous powerbomb, and beats them. So Go Shiozaki can't fall for these mind games. He can't fall for these tricks. And I'm worried. There's already a sign that he has, and I'm predicting Fujita retains. That came out of nowhere, right, Adam? Yes, I'm predicting Fujita retains this title because I believe Go Shiozaki is not ready for the mind games of Kazuyuki Fujita. I just don't believe it. And if I'm wrong, well, great. Great. Then Nakajima can go try to get the title off of his former friend again, former friend and tag team partner. But I think there's going to be a lot of hearts broken here. I do. I think a lot of people are going to watch this show thinking Go Shiozaki is going to be the man that finally saves us from the terrible Fujita. And he's going to go down. And you people are going to whine and cry. And you're going to say, this is why the attendance is down. And what's going on? This is a bad guy taking his place on a throne, kicking the good guys in the forehead as they try to ascend to pull him off. And it's a story being told that's supposed to make you emotional. That's supposed to make you want to see this guy lose. And if he loses too soon, I mean, he's only had a few title defenses. Didn't really establish him as what they want to establish him as. I believe this is Fujita's last run. I think after this run, I'm not saying the minute he loses his titles, he's going to retire. But I wouldn't be shocked if the end of 2022 he's done. I have no inside sources about that, except that we all know he's going to be a teacher in the dojo, right? He's going to be a teacher and a recruiter, from what I understand, in the Noah dojo. So I think they're just trying to give this guy one last big run. They're going to, you know, he's going to be the man for a while. Maybe not the whole way to the end of the year, but somebody's maybe, Kiyomiya builds himself back up by the end of the year and in a big, huge match beats a man that nobody believes he's capable of beating because Vegeta has beat everybody before him. You know, or maybe there's someone else, I don't know, Inamura, who will come out of. Maybe there's someone that's going to be built up over the next couple of months into a gigantic hero, but people wonder, he can't do it. Go Shiozaki couldn't do it. Nakajima couldn't do it. How is this young guy going to do it? And he does it, and he sets the world afire, and we have a new ace, a new superstar in pro wrestling, Noah. Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. Maybe Go Shiozaki here wins it, and that just flatlines my idea completely. And that's okay, because I trust pro wrestling Noah. There's no other wrestling company in the world, except maybe Stardom, that I would say that about. But this is going to be the show of shows, 11 matches. Make sure if you're going to watch this on the East Coast like your boy is, that you get your sleep in, because it's probably going to start around between 4 and 5 or 5:30, somewhere in there. I'll be posting about it on Twitter. Don't worry about it. I'll get all the details to you before the 30th gets here. We got 5 days. I will let you know exactly what time. But get a nap if you're going to watch this live. If you have Wrestle Universe, you can watch it on demand. You can watch it whenever. I don't work Friday night, Saturday morning. I don't go to work till Saturday night. So I think I will be able to watch this live, which is cool, but it makes it a little harder for me to comment because I like watching a match, commenting on it, watching a match, commenting on it. And I can't pause a live show. If I do, and I come back to it, it just jumps to where it currently is instead of starting me where I was. So I can't pause it. So I watch a whole show, then I usually have to watch it a second time to do the video. And I'm going to have 2 reviews to do on episode 12. I'm going to be busy as hell for the next podcast. And I think coming up very soon in May, Noah has like 3 shows in 1 week. So I'm going to make up for not having much to do on this show. But I've brought you along 45 minutes of this preview. I think that's pretty good. 11 matches, 45 minutes. I spent almost 5 minutes per match talking about what I think is going to happen, what I want to happen, and really getting in to this show that's coming out in 5 days. Of course, we got the one before it. We previewed that. The 29th show was previewed on episode 10. Please watch episode 10 first if you want to see that preview. And then you can come and watch this preview. I didn't want to do them both on the last show, or I really would have nothing to do on this episode except a little bit of Noah news, which we'll get to next. It's time for the Noah news, guys. Only 2 segments this week because, look, there's no show to review. There was nothing to watch. So we opened the show by previewing Noah's Majestic 2022 show on April 30th in Ryogoku. And now we're all ready to the Noah News with Hisami and her. That's her website. That's her Twitter. Check them out. Her website is puroprogramtranslations.blogspot.com. Always linked in the description of these videos. There's what it looks like here on your screen. I'm just up here in the corner talking about what we're looking at. Now, we're not going to go over all this news. We're going to go over the weekly newsletter, but I'm going to show you what's available on her page and why you should absolutely bookmark this and be following it. She's got an article here, Dragon Gate/Noah, Harada will beat you with our pro wrestling. The Noah Jr. regulars retaliate against the Z-Brats. It looks like the Noah Jr. regulars showed up in Dragon Gate. If you want to check that out, check out the article all about it, then determine if that's something you want to watch. I'm going to read the article for sure, not here right now, but I'm not going to watch Dragon Gate. I just don't have that big of an interest. And then here we have Dragon Gate/Noah, Paros de Mal de Japón challenge gold class for the Triangle Gate Tag Champion. So not only did the Noah Jr. regulars show up in Dragon Gate, Paros de Mal de Japón showed up and challenged their trios or their 6-man champions for their titles called the Triangle Gate Tag Championships. All the Dragon Gate titles have the word gate in them. Open the Dragon Gate, the different things. I used to watch Dragon Gate USA years ago, back when Gabe Sapolsky was running that. But I don't really know anything about Dragon Gate Japan, not especially current day. But there we got Paros de Mal. So, hey, if you're interested in Dragon Gate because Noah's showing up there, it gives me a vague interest, but I just don't have the time, guys. I don't have the time to watch multiple companies, so I'll read about it here. I suggest you do too. There's the newsletter we're going to get to in a moment. Noah Weekly Newsletter, Volume 169 from the week of April 24th. That's yesterday. Just looking again, we have, she's posted the Noah May 22 schedule. So if you want to see what the schedule in May looks like, you just click there. Fighting the industry, preparing a secret plan, interview with Seiki Yoshioka ahead of the Ryogoku for the Juniors Extreme Tiger match. So they, here she's got an interview posted where they talk to Yoshioka about his upcoming match with Extreme Tiger. There's other things here. Oh, this is big. Noah had some kind of fan event. Noah Fest 2022 from the 23rd. Hisami has posted and interpreted that entire thing. It's ridiculous. I mean, good ridiculous. That's the kind of work she does. If you want to read all about that event, and there's some good stuff, some cool stuff that went on there, interviews and discussions, check that out. It's right there, the picture with all the chairs. And there's other things. I'm not going to go everything on this page, but you know, and then you click on older posts if you want us to keep going. But there's all kinds of articles. She did an incredible job. Incredible. Very thankful for all that she does. But right now, let's check out this week's news. NOAA Weekly Newsletter, Volume 169, from the week of April 24, 2022. Not any matches this week until Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th, when NOAA hold their doubleheader at Sumo Hall. But plenty of other events have taken place beforehand. What I've been telling you, no review this week because there were no matches, but two big matches back-to-back coming up this weekend. Okay, NOAA Fest 2022. NOAA held a fan event in Tokyo on Saturday the 23rd of April. Fans were treated to pre-release merchandise, four talking events, and then photo and autograph sessions. I'm jealous. I would love to be at something like that. Maybe one day I'll be able to make something like that. Fly over to Japan and attend something like that would be a dream. Here she says, King Tani's trouble consolation was not King Tani solving people's problems, but rather fans being asked to solve his. So King Tani, his session on stage, people thought it was going to be something about him taking questions and giving advice to help people with their problems. But instead, it was the fans' opportunity to help him with his problems. So that's interesting. The advice Tani was seeking was on problems with communication at venues with others, his ongoing frosty material problems, divorce may be on the cards, a hard time living and feeling the limitations of Funky Express. Muhammad Yone, as you can probably imagine, was not too pleased on hearing this, and he also wasn't too pleased that he wasn't invited to be there. Although he is feeling the restrictions of his current character, Tani has no plans to go back to his old Maybach persona. Now, he was like a big monster. Kendo Cashin sadly did not crash the event. So people thought Kendo Cashin would crash this. But King Tani stood on the stage and just told the fans things he was struggling with and sought their advice and opinions on what was going on. That is different. I don't know if I've ever heard of anything like that in my life. Interesting. Kotaro Suzuki and Yuyu Susumu gave a talk, which was very different in atmosphere to the others. Theirs was described as awkward. Although nothing has been officially announced, Susumu heavily implied that he has indeed signed with NOAA by saying that he could not abandon the thrill of being in NOAA. He gave up freedoms for this, and for that reason, he wants to get results. Kotaro told him then, in that case, he should have just freelanced in a different promotion, take their belts, and then show up in NOAA. Kotaro also suggested that if Susumu lost to him, then he enters the NOAA dojo and starts from scratch by making Shan Kanabe, I don't know what that is. Sorry, I can click on it. Let me open a new tab here and see what that is. Okay. Chanko, what is Chanakabe? Now, it's a recipe. Chicken, salt, I don't know. It's just an insult. We're not going to sit here and go over this recipe, sorry. So, that's interesting. Susumu has not flat out said he signed with NOAA, but he said he gave up freelancing, so obviously he has signed with NOAA. It seems obvious. And Kotaro says, you should have remained a free agent, went out to other promotions, won some belts, and then came back here and looked like a big deal. Because right now you're not a big deal. And Kotaro Suzuki's already said before, you know, that Susumu's below him. That is this borderline joke to Suzuki. And that's what went on here. He just continued to insult him. And he said, if you lose, you should go back to the dojo and cook for the boys, basically is what he's saying here. So we got this interview between the two before their big matchup. So this is going to be important. You're going to want to watch this. Kotaro is going in very arrogant, very cocky, which he is amazing. He's one of the best junior wrestlers in the world. Of that, there is no doubt. My microphone's been a little far away from me. Hopefully you picked all this up because I'm not starting over. Sorry. So this is going to be a very interesting match. And I think if Suzuki wins, his head's going to get even bigger. And if Susumu doesn't win, I think he's going to really have a hard time getting over that. I mean, some of the insults he's taken. Good idea to keep an eye on that matchup for sure. Next up, we had Keiji Muto made an appearance with Naomichi Marufuji. Muto was on form, saying that he thought that this was some kind of match. Marufuji had to explain otherwise, so Muto came in and said he thought he was coming to a match, not some kind of talk, saying that he thought the picture of Masa Kitamiya was Suwama. So Muto saw a picture of Kitamiya and thought it was All Japan's Suwama. Okay. On a more serious note, Mutu addressed his injury, saying he was better and felt he could return soon. He was no longer in pain, and he's aiming for the GHC national title before he turns 60. And that's in December. He turned 60 sometime in December. Their talk was intruded on by Ninja Mac and Extreme Tiger. The pair shook hands with Marufuji and Mutu and introduced themselves to the crowd. Mutu commented that when he first went abroad, he had a ninja gimmick and would be asking for royalties. So he tells Ninja Mac, you know, you're ripping off my gimmick. You pay me some royalties. And he would be asking for royalties. He said the same thing when Marufuji said that he was Hayata's hero and Hayata had based some of his own character on Mutu, Great Mutu. Marufuji laughed and said that everything Mutu did was great towards money. It was geared towards money. So again, just Mutu saying, look, anybody who sort of copies what I do or what I did, especially in my past, I'm going to collect some royalties from you. And Marufuji saying, this is what he does. He's all about the money. The Noah Jr. regulars held a talk show and a lottery afterwards. I think the crowds were a little exhausted from the whirlwind, which was Mutu, but they noticed a heaviness in Hal when he spoke of Niho's frightening resolution to put both his hair and his name on the line. Yohei discussed how with Yoshinori Ogawa and Chris Ridgway, you need to be able to find a gap to take the chance in order to win. Atsushi Kotogi is feeling a lot better mentally, although his knees are not yet 100%. I talked about that on that last episode, that, you know, Kotogi... He should have took a night off. In my opinion, he should have took a night off, and it's going to cost him and Yohei the junior tag titles, in my opinion, when they face Ridgeway and Ogawa. I mean, his knees still aren't 100% now. I guess, you know, we got 5 days, but we'll see what happens there because you know those two are going to attack the knees, and Ridgeway is a submission expert. So that's going to be interesting. But as she also mentions here, how Hal seemed a little heavy. Does that mean he's a little worried? A little worried? Putting his hair on the line? And his name, I'm telling you, that's a big deal. Keep an eye out for that one. Noah Jr. Regular Week. For the run-up to Noah Jr. Night at Sumo Hall on the 29th, the Noah Jr. regulars, Daisuke Harada, Atsushi Kotogi, Yohei, Alejandro, Hao, and Juta Miyawaki, will be doing various online events to promote the show in their matches. These guys are super excited about this, guys. The Noah Juniors are being focused on the 29th, and they really want it to be the best show it can possibly be. They're hyping it. They're promoting it. They're doing all they can. You got to respect them for that. Night one took the form of all six of them talking on the official Noah Twitter space, where they took questions from fans and addressed the spicy words that Jushin Liger had to say about the Sumo Hall event. It doesn't translate well, but he said something like the event is no good as it cannot measure up to the good quality competition found in the competition with New Japan. Despite the heated response by Yohei and Junta Miyawaki in particular, there were some funny moments such as Alejandro and the glitter mask and the six of them trying to get used to new technology. So Jushin Liger, who's going to be commenting, who's going to be a commentator on the 29th show, which is interesting, has said that this show can't measure up. They can't measure up to New Japan. Jeez, I mean, what's with Liger coming out there and being nasty? So more fuel to the Noah Jr. regulars' fire to really put on a big, big show here on the 29th. Night two of the Noah Jr. regulars hyping this show was done on Instagram. This was meant to start at 8 p.m. after Noah Fest 2022 wrapped up, but it was delayed due to the sheer amount of people wanting to see the Noah Jr. regulars. So they had so many fans at this fest, Noah Fest, wanting to see them that their broadcast on Instagram and 8 was pushed back. The broadcast was high octane with Daisuke Harada acting as the MC and reading out the questions. As per fan request, they all posed individually for a lock screen or a wallpaper background. So that's cool. If you wanted to take a picture of them, you know, a high quality picture for your phone, they all took the time to pose for that. Night three of the Noah Jr. regulars hyping this show was back to Twitter space and was held between Yohei and Kotogi, or Momo Perrin, as fans are now calling them. Momo Perrin. Lost in translation, guys. They were as bright as ever with a lot of flirting, but there was a note of worry, especially over how well the event will do. I can't see how this event will do well. If it doesn't, it is going to be kind of depressing. The schedule for the rest of the Noah Jr. week is as follows. This is what else they're doing to hype this show. Monday the 25th, which is the day Hal would be addressing the fans. Tuesday the 26th, Alejandro will be addressing the fans. Wednesday the 27th, Junta Milwaukee. Thursday the 28th, Daisuke Hirata. They will do another live event with all six of them via Instagram on Friday the 29th. So they're really working hard to put this show over. Noah press conference. With the foreign wrestlers now safely in Japan and training in the Noah Dojo, Noah will hold their second press conference ahead of the two nights in Sumo Hall on Wednesday the 27th, live on Noah's official YouTube at 18:30. That's, I want to say 4:30 Eastern Standard Time, AM. If Hisami interprets this press conference, I will try my damnedest to make a special video and put it in the news section talking about it, since this is right before the show. Okay. Event recaps, post-match interview, Real Overture 2022 in Nagata from April 17th. Isami's got that posted. Just a link here on our page. You can click on that and read interviews from backstage after the show on the 17th. Elsewhere in Noah, more news around Noah. Eita says that when he beats Hayata, he wants a parade. Of course he does. Either this will be in an open-topped car or Disneyland night parade with bright lights and Mickey Mouse. Despite this, he is genuinely proud to be the GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion, and to be in the main event of the first ever Noah Junior Night in such a grand venue as Ryogoku Kogen. Sorry, I butchered that. Sumo Hall. Now, Eita, that's kind of cool. I mean, Eita's this hard-assed bad guy, right? But he's proud. I mean, isn't it the fact that Noah, I mean, going behind the curtain here a little bit, guys, that put that title on Eita going into the show, that says a lot too. This is one of the biggest shows they've ever done, trying to hype the juniors. And Eita is the champion, the junior heavyweight champion. That's a big deal. Hopefully he carries himself as well as he possibly can. I know he can. Here's hoping. More news. Goji Ozaki revealed in a short radio interview that he feels closer to his cats. He has nine cats than his two dogs. Nine cats and two dogs. Man has 11 animals. His dogs bark at him when he comes home and desert him after evening snacks before bedtime. What the hell? Goji Ozaki living with 11 pets. Nine cats, two dogs. He feels closer to his cats because the dogs come up and get snacks from him when he comes home. All excited to see him. But once they've had their snacks, they pretty much go do their thing. And I guess the cats are still all over him. I have three dogs. Me and my wife have three dogs. I thought we were nuts. I thought we were crazy for having three dogs. This man has 11, nine cats and two dogs. Referee Shu Nishinaga and former referee Akihiko Fukuda will be appearing on Battlemen as a special guest on the 27th of April. No idea what Battlemen is. Some show in Japan. I think it's a big deal, pretty popular. And the referee and former ref are going to appear on that. You know, hey, get the word out about Noah. People, come to the shows over there in Japan. What's wrong with you? And don't tell me it's Fujita. Further hints were given about the mystery partner for Marufuji. He appears to have a spaceman motive, or at least someone connected with astronauts or space. Talked about this earlier. I recall that once upon a time during the Golden Era, Brian Danielson's theme music was the final countdown. Hisami, don't get me excited. I never thought of that. Never thought of that. And I'm not saying, oh my God. Look, I'm no American wrestling fan, but I know Brian Danielson is the man. Brian Danielson is probably the best American professional wrestler in the world right now. Yes, better than CM Punk. Sorry, better. I think he's probably much better than CM Punk. That's my opinion. And oh, if only. All this concern, if only. Brian Danielson teaming with Marufuji? Shit, son. Let it be so.
Let it be so.
The current champions of pro wrestling know the GHC heavyweight champion Kazuyuki Fujita, his challenger on the 30th, Goji Ozaki. The GHC junior champion is Eita. His challengers is Hayata on the 29th for that title. The GHC heavyweight tag team champions, the Segura Army, Segura and Suzuki. Their challengers are from Congo, Kenno and Nakajima on the 30th. The GHC junior tag team champions are the Noah Junior regulars, Atsushi Kotogi and Yohei. Their challengers on the 29th are Yoshinari Ogawa and Chris Ridgway. The GHC national champion is Masakatsu Funaki. His challenger on the 30th is Simon Gotch. This week in NOAH, Friday, April 29, 2022, Abima presents Majestic 2022 and Innovation Sumo Hall. Okay. English commentary available on Wrestle Universe. And this same date on the 29th, this is kind of cool, it will be Tadasuke's 15th year anniversary in pro wrestling. Congratulations, Tadasuke, on an accomplishment of 15 years as of the 29th, the day of the NOAH Junior Super Show. Pretty cool, brother. Saturday, April 30th, Wrestle Universe presents Majestic 2022 Sumo Hall, starts at 1500, Wrestle Universe. Doesn't say English commentary. I'm shocked that they wouldn't have English commentary on that one. NOAH's May 2022 schedule can be found here at this link I told you about earlier. She has the link for the month of May if you want to see that schedule. Note about Abima broadcast. You can read that if you want. That's just basically just saying don't buy Abima on demand because most people it won't work for if you're outside Japan. It does work for me. It just does. Even without my VPN, I've tested it 3-4 times. Works for me, but I'm still not recommending you out and get it. There's very little on it. Very little. Once in a while, they have a NOAH show that either isn't on Wrestle Universe or isn't on Wrestle Universe for days. Hey, I am such a sycophant for NOAH that I want to see it as soon as I can and when I want to, not wait for it to go up or not to be up at all. All right. So there is the weekly NOAH news. Again, please check out Aizami's page. This is what it looks like there. NOAH's archive. puroprogramstranslations.blogspot.com. It will be linked in the description of this video. Check it out. Bookmark it. Read it. So many things to look at, especially since we got 5 days before the next show. You can catch up on all this stuff I'm showing you again. And, you know, there's more pages. You just click on older posts. And there's last week's newsletter. And there's event recaps. And there's more event recaps. And there's Ultimo Dragon, and there's Kenno and his goal with his YouTube channel. And again, we can go back here to the first page. You just got all kinds of NOAH information. You can find this link. You can find all the links dealing with me, yours truly, the NOAH Network CEO, whatever I am, my Twitter, my Facebook, this page, NOAH's YouTube page, NOAH's English Twitter, Aizami's Twitter, Aizami's NOAH's archive. All of that is linked at WrestlingDoneRight.com, the home of the NOAH Network. And that's something you should be bookmarking as well, because it's just a quick reference point to everything you need to follow pro wrestling NOAH, especially if you're a non-Japanese speaker. That'll help you out tremendously. But folks, that's the short version of the show this week with no shows to review, but two bangers coming up in just a few days, the 29th and the 30th. I will be back next week for episode 12, where I will review both of those shows. Hard work coming up for me. And preview, if there's one coming up within the next week, we'll preview that and bring you more NOAH news with Aizami's help. But until then, I'm Adam Lavelle of the NOAH Network, and I'll see you soon. Oh yeah!
東の空が光で染まった Wow wow! 始まりを告げる鐘の音が君も聞こえるかい 涙で洗い流した視界は 僕ら約束の場所へ目の前の果てない海は自由で強い信念は風となるんだろう帆を上げていざ行こう走って転んで散って もっともっと 蹴り飛ばすぜ希望で痛くてもがいてうなってそれでも戦うのは馬鹿ため出会って守って誓って一人じゃ持てない力を知った息苦しい時代でも声なき声はずっとずっと届いて走って転んで散ってそれでも立ち上がっていくのは登って